Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck, and I hope you've been joining me this week as I have a guest with me, Annie Randolph. She's here, and we've been going together through Hebrews chapter 10, and we've had some really fruitful days, just as we always do, going basically verse by verse. We've made it only through a couple verses here in Hebrews 10 because this is such a rich passage, and as we read it and as we sit, and like we talked about on the first day, as we sit in a sense, wait on the Lord to reveal to us what he's saying, to reveal to us where he's leading us, the fruit of these passages just keeps coming and coming and coming. And so if you joined us yesterday, we left off talking really about the full assurance of faith. What does it mean to draw near with a true heart? And this kind of phrasing of like, how do we know? How do we know that we know? So we want to dive into a little bit of that today because I think that's a big question for people. I think we're kind of circling around that in the modern era as we're living in a moment, friends, in which like faith principles are kind of popular again, like living in a Christian way, but without faith and without Jesus is kind of like popular and cool from public figures and intellectuals and all these different things. And so I think it's really important to talk about like, what role does faith have in that? And so we're going to pray. And Annie, why don't you're here with us again. Yeah. Can you pray for us?
I'd love to pray for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are trustworthy. And God, I thank you that your word is ever new, that you are continually showing us new things, and that we can reflect on and meditate and gnaw on your word day and night, and it will never get old. And so even as our listeners are listening, I pray that you would increase their hunger and desire for your living word. And I pray that you would just continue to reveal to us what it means to have full assurance of faith in you. Would you open our eyes and our ears to your word and your presence? Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. So let's go ahead like we've been doing, and we're going to read again this passage. And if you've been listening, friends, over this week, you're going to be like, okay, I've read this passage every day, but this is how we get new insights from the Lord. And I think sometimes we feel like we need to have like all of this quantity, and we need to be like, I need to keep moving through. I need to like get to the next thing. I need to go to the next reading. But the Lord invites us to sit and sit in the word and like make history. Like I think of like as we're sitting here and we're talking about building up a memory with God that he is faithful. So much of that comes from reading his word and being in the same word over and over again. That as we're here and as we're talking about these things, we're like putting a stake in the ground, like in this little paragraph that in my Bible is like every word is underlined. Like I've put squares around it, all this kind of stuff of like, I'm coming back to this place and I'm saying, I've lived here with God. And now I've lived here with community. I've lived here in this portion of my life. And that's what God's calling you to do. So don't get sick of this word that we're reading over and over again, right? So Annie's going to read for us again at 19 through 25.
Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, which he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So good. Yeah, I think just going back and being in that, again, that passage 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And we were talking about faith and the gift of faith. And as I was saying at the beginning of this episode, and we've talked about this a little bit in our Bible study, is I think we're in a moment in which like we get confused about like what it means to actually have faith and what it means to live faith. And I think there's a moment in which like all these Christian principles, like living a particular kind of way, or like what intellectually makes the most sense, all this kind of stuff. And that's a good thing to do, you know, like it's part of it, but it's the fruit of the actual thing, which is a gift that is born out of this radical encounter that you've been talking about. And so friends, I think if you're sitting there being like, okay, I'm kind of confused by like, what is faith, or like, how can I really be sure? I think going back to this place of faith is a gift that we receive when we encounter Jesus, And it comes, you know, from after we repent. And for Catholics, like, faith comes through our baptism. The gift of faith comes through our baptism. But it's really, like, what allows us to then turn and put all our eggs in one basket, right? So faith is both a gift that's received. And after we receive the gift, it's a choice then to turn and to give everything to Jesus and put all our eggs in that basket. And so thinking about, like, it beginning with that radical encounter. And if you're listening, you're like, I haven't had that radical encounter, or I had it 50 years ago, or I had it 10 years ago, or I have it every day or whatever. Annie, I think maybe, like, talk a little bit, because you talked about different encounters with the Lord. And I wonder maybe just if you can speak to, I don't know, like, some of the first times, like, you experienced that happening of that radical encounter, which produces in you the gift of faith.
Yeah. Two come to mind. The first, briefly, is I was, like, in middle school at Pine Hills, and just for the first time I had a conviction of, like, we're talking about, like, know that I know that the Lord, like, desired to pursue me, that it wasn't that, like, the Father was forcing Jesus to, like, go and get me, but that he actually desired to love me, and that radically affected the way that I approached prayer, because I was like, oh, it's not just, like, me wanting to come to you, like, you have already desired to come to me.
Yeah.
But another one comes to mind, because we're talking about the power of the blood. I was thinking about my freshman year of high school. I was at Catholic Youth Summer Camp at Damascus, Ohio, and I was watching, they often use dramas like most other camps, and it was just showing the passion and the weight of our sin. And so you would see, like, a girl, like, making mistakes or whatever, and then every time that happened, Jesus would be whipped or nailed to the cross or whatever. And then you just watched, like, all the chains fall off of him and at the end. And I remember Jesus saying, like, the cost of, like, of eternity with you, with me, was my blood, and I would do it again. Like, and it just, like, I knew that I'd heard that, whatever, but it, like, radically changed the way that I approached Jesus and the way that I understood the power of the blood, because I realized how personal his sacrifice was, and that if there was nobody else in the world, he would have done it for me, which, again, you hear this all the time, but there was just a grace on that moment and a grace on that drama and at that camp at that time of just, like, I encountered the power of the blood. And it's interesting because there have been really very few times since then where I felt it that tangibly. You know, that was, I don't know, like 5-6 years ago. But that encounter is just, like, burned into my heart, that, like, the blood is powerful and the blood is personal. And I think, like, I've pulled on that so often. But there is a time when it's like, yeah, like you're saying, like, people logically get to a certain point where they're like, well, yeah, I think, like, there must be a God because of all of these arguments, or, oh, you know, these Christian ideals tend to help people live a better life, so I guess I'll do that. But there has to come a moment when it's like, yeah, I had that conviction, but I don't necessarily see it tangibly day by day. But I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket. I'm going to live like the blood is powerful. I'm going to live like the blood is personal for me, even when 9 out of 10 times I don't always experience that. And sometimes there's a season where I, like, feel like I feel that every day, but oftentimes not. But there's grace for that through our baptism.
That's so good. And I think, like even just thinking about that experience you described, like, you're not there being like, okay, I just have to make myself believe this. Like, I have to, like, I have to conjure up this experience. I have to come away with this, like, conviction that this is the truth, or that, like, the blood is powerful, but that it was a time when God came to you and he gave you a gift. And that gift began to produce fruit in your life. And so I think, friends, to encourage you, like, this gift is something that we can ask for. We can ask for it, like, we receive it at our baptism, and then we can ask for it to be stirred up, because we have the gift of faith within us. And I'm just thinking of even just my mom and, like, her own story of her, and it goes with waiting on the Lord and all these different things of when she began to read the New Testament and wonder if Jesus could be the Messiah. She began to pray every night, like, if Jesus is the Messiah, like, show me and give me the faith to believe it. And it culminated in her having a dream of Jesus where he was standing in front of her in her dorm room, and he held out his hand and he opened up his hand, and in his hand was a key. And he said, this is the gift of faith. You've been asking for it, and here it is. And she took it out, and she took it out of his hand, and she received it, and she woke up, and she said, when I woke up, I knew that I knew. I just knew. And I think it's like this inner knowing. And I think for many of us, if you're listening, friends, God wants to pour out a fresh gift of faith upon you. Not something that you have to earn. I'm not talking about an emotional experience. I'm not talking about, like these things that we think of like, well, now I'm going to get these warm fuzzies in my heart. You very well could, you know, you very well could get the goosebumps or whatever. But like, but that – it's asking God. And like we talked about with this confidence that when I ask God for something, he always shows up and he gives it to me. And I think that there is something available for you, and not just for you, but for your families. And even Annie and I were talking, and she was just praying for you all as you were listening and was just getting a sense from the Lord, I think, just about this and about faith and a new gift of faith. And so I don't know if you want to share that,
Annie. Yeah, I was just as the chapter goes on, it talks a little bit about stirring one another up in good works and not neglecting to meet together. And I just felt like there's going to be anointing as you guys are listening to this, to go home and break open the word with your families and to have the confidence and boldness to just be like, hey, like, we're going to just read a few of these verses today at dinner. And that it kind of goes along with, we've been talking about a lot about like revival is going to come around tables, shared over meals. And so I just want to encourage you to take that step of boldness. I think there's going to be a new outpouring of the gift of faith on families that are like taking advantage of this and choosing to break open the word together. And I think that goes back to something too that I was thinking about, of so oftentimes the Lord wants us to give the gift of faith or the gift of other things, and our hearts are only disposed at certain times. We're like, oh, you know, the music is playing, or I'm at this retreat, or I'm with this holy person. And some of my greatest encounters with the Lord have been like in the toilet paper aisle of Meijer, you know, or like driving and being stuck in traffic, or standing in line waiting for something. And so I think in that same way, like the Lord wants to come in places that you might not be expecting, like while you're making dinner or while you're clearing the dishes with your family, and to have great expectation that he wants to move, whether it's in, you know, the grocery store or at your tables, that that's something that you as a family choose to be open to. And I think you're going to see pretty radical shift.
I know that. I think that's so true. And like what you're describing, and as I'm looking at the passage, because we started you describing this encounter that you had with the Lord, which produced the gift of faith. Like you received a greater gift of faith through this encounter. And then you talked about how it allowed you in time to then have conviction when you didn't feel that, and when you needed to feel that. And it's like it says in 23, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And so it's like through the blood of Jesus, friends, we receive the gift of faith. We're sprinkled clean through our baptism. And then the Holy Spirit, through baptism in the Spirit, through receiving more, stirs up the gift of God that is within us. And so we've received the gift of faith, but then we make a choice based on what we've received to hold fast to that confession. And to keep like a confession of what? Of faith. To keep confessing over and over again, you are who you say you are. And that leads us then to stir up one another, which we're going to talk about more tomorrow. And I love what you said about like, this is easy for us when like the music's playing and like the candles, but to hold fast to the confession of our faith, it's a choice. It's a commitment. And oftentimes it's in the suffering where we have to take the faith and on behalf of ourselves. Like I'm even sitting here and I'm thinking about a situation that I'm in, and I'm like, Lord, like I'm so frustrated about this thing that's hard, and a friend of mine is suffering, and I'm literally like, I have to now take the faith of who you are. And on behalf of this person that I love, hold fast and confess the reality that you are faithful, even though this situation is so hard. But this is how we live this, friends. This is the practice. We receive it. We're washed clean through the blood. We enter into the sanctuary. We see what Jesus has done for us. The gift of faith is stirred up in our hearts. And then we walk step by step, holding onto the confession of you are who you say you are, no matter what is happening. And then that leads us to then go back to our homes and stir each other up in love. So join us again tomorrow. I know this is a quick ending. Join us tomorrow as we talk about stirring one another up in love.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.